Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. Justin Kenner with you here, bringing you another week's edition of the Reach the Horizon podcast. It's our ESPNU preview show here this week. The Wright State Raiders and the Youngstown State Penguins going head-to-head on ESPNU Thursday night at 9 p.m. tip-off. These two teams no stranger to one another. They're no stranger to one another on the ESPN Network, and they're definitely no stranger to one another on the ESPN Network with a 9 p.m. tip-off. How about that? Another late one against two of the top four teams in the Horizon League. We're about to close the door on the month of January, and depending on when you listen to this, it might already be February. But regardless, January, February, it doesn't matter, because March starts here in Indianapolis. The Barbasol Horizon League Basketball Championships will take place at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum on March 11th and 12th in Indy, with trips to the NCAA tournament on the line. Follow your Horizon League men's and women's basketball teams on campus during first round and quarterfinal games before joining them in Indy for a major experience in the semifinals and championship rounds. For more details, visit horizonleague.com/Indy. That's right. Again, Justin Kenner with you here. Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. Youngstown State at Wright State. ESPNU Thursday night, the late one, a 9 o'clock tip-off. Two of the top four teams in the league matching up for the second time this season. The first game, of course, belonging to the Youngstown State Penguins. An 81-71 final at the Begley Center again. And that was a great environment that night. It's going to be another big one in Dayton at Wright State University's Nutter Center on Thursday night. And our guest for this week's podcast, of course, none other than the voice of the Youngstown State Penguins, Mr. Rob Schmidt. Mr. Schmidt, welcome in, sir. How are you?
Thanks, Justin. We're doing well. Excited about Thursday night's showdown against the Raiders again. Always a fun environment at the Nutter. Obviously, one of the two top showcase buildings in our league, along with Truist Arena. So always enjoy our stop off in Fairborn.
So two of the top four teams going head-to-head. Before we dive into the Penguins and the Raiders matchup itself, obviously we know that with the NIT kind of sticking it to mid-majors before the season tipped off, I know that the commissioner, Julie Rolascha, when she helped us tip off the podcast this season, she was not pleased with that, as is pretty much all mid-major conferences out there. You know, you want to win the league, you want that number one seed, but ultimately what it comes down to is you just want to finish in the top four. You want to finish in the top four because the Horizon League, tournament format, top four teams get a first round bye, and you get to host a quarterfinal matchup with the chance to punch your ticket to the Final Four in Indianapolis for the Horizon League semifinals and championship. Well, two of the top four teams tomorrow night, your Penguins, Rob. I mean, I know Green Bay's been a heck of a story. They're 9-3, 14-9 overall. But Youngstown State, when you look at the way they've just been taking it to the top teams in the league, I know Oakland's got them twice, but outside of that, taking care of Wright State, taking care of Northern Kentucky, and some of these others, I think for me right now, the way I look at this, I sit back and look, I think the Penguins look like the best team in the league right now. You've had a front row seat all season. This has been a pretty magical run. There's still a lot of season left, but the Penguins playing really good basketball right now.
Yeah, it really starts this week, Justin. It really starts with at Wright State, and then their next game is at Purdue Fort Wayne. So, you know, as you well know, in this league, you have to value your home games. And YSU has done a really good job of creating a great environment here in Youngstown and valuing those home games. That's what makes this week's trip so important, is at Wright State and at Purdue Fort Wayne, because not many teams are able to win consistently on the road. You talked about wanting to be a top four. You know, I tell a lot of people, you really want to be a top three, because, you know, you play that 4-5 game, even though five comes to you, they get by as well in that opening night. So I think it's imperative to be a top three. I appreciate the sentiment about YSU maybe being the best right now. I still think Wright State starting five is the best, if not, one of the top two starting fives in this league, the way they can score. The thing the Penguins have been doing so well as of late is playing defense. Their last three games, they won by an average margin of 33 points, and it's all really been predicated on its defense. And that included the games at Detroit Mercy and at IUPUI. But they were on the road, and those are difficult environments to play. And so I think that'll be the difference between Wright State and Youngstown State, much like Game 1, which team can play the best defense.
Well, Rob, you know, it's very important that I don't show bias hosting this podcast. As you know, I'm calling games for Wright State this year. Now, that's not why I said I truly believe that. You know, my Wright State guys may not like that. I think that Wright State has the potential to be the top in the league. They've just been so inconsistent, and their head coach, Scott Nagy, would tell you that, and he tells us that every week, especially on the coaches show and others. But what Youngstown's been able to do, just as far as being the most consistent throughout. Now, 11-1 at home, obviously a different animal at home. 5-5 on the road, that's where things, you know, start to unravel at times for Youngstown. But not just Youngstown, all teams. The last stat I checked, I remember, you know, it was a few weeks ago. I had heard a stat about the record for home teams in the Horizon League from non-con through now, at least about 2 weeks ago. It was like 56-8, the top eight teams in the Horizon League. That was their combined record at home. I mean, I'm sure that's a pattern across all of college basketball. Take care of your home floor. It's a big one for Wright State, a bigger one for Wright State more just because you can't, you know, lose twice to the same team. But with that being said, Youngstown coming in on the road, taking on Wright State. Wright State, 7 of their first 11 games in Horizon League play, Rob, all on the road. And for them to have a 7-3 mark in the league is pretty impressive when you consider that. They're going to be playing a ton of home games down the stretch while the majority of the league is wrapping up on the road. How is the schedule? And I haven't taken a look. I've seen who they've played. I haven't paid attention to the disparity of home and first away. Has Youngstown State been on the road a lot? Have they been at home a lot? What's their balance, or is their schedule balanced, in your opinion?
So the remaining 9 games for the guys will be 4 home, 5 on the road. That includes at Wright State, at Purdue, Fort Wayne. Then after that trip, then they come back to Youngstown, and they will host Milwaukee, Green Bay on a Thursday, Saturday, the old travel partner scenario, before they get one more home game. And then they've got to go up to Wisconsin for 2. They still get Robert Morris at home, and they still get Detroit Mercy at home. But it's a 4 home, 5 away split for the remaining 9 games.
Going to be interesting, nonetheless, as far as the, you know, how that's separated. Let's go back to the last time these two teams played, Rob. Again, just a few weeks ago, of course, January 12th, there was another 9 p.m. tip-off. It was interesting on the coach's show and even in the post-game for the Youngstown State game when talking with Coach Nagy, head coach of the Raiders. He's coached a long time. I mean, he has coached a long time at South Dakota State. He's already been here quite a while at Wright State. He said that was the first time he's had to coach a 9 o'clock game on the road. And he wasn't making an excuse. He was just saying that was something that even caught him off guard, was that. For you, how many, I mean, these 9 o'clock tip-offs, I mean, no excuses, no one's saying any of that, but like, these are weird games, having to wait all day, especially for you guys. You're going to be in your hotels all day, just waiting around. How weird of an environment is that when you got to go on the road and play a late tip-off like this one on Thursday?
Justin, I even asked Coach Calhoun when we were at home for that nationally televised 9 o'clock tip, and I said, does it change your prep? Because everybody's got to push back their pregame meal. You got to figure out your shoot-around time. But yep, he said these guys more than likely are kind of night owls. I mean, they like that late-night environment. So I don't know that it would be that big of a detriment, but you're right. Sitting around in a hotel room can always create a little bit of a lag, you know, kind of make you feel lethargic. I know our athletic director here at Youngstown State, when we host football games, there are a couple that we like to play at night because that's his mindset. You know, some of those teams, if they're sitting around in a hotel room all afternoon and then you kick off at 6 o'clock or you tip off at 9 o'clock, you do have that propensity to be a little lethargic. So I think our coaches did a good job. The last time we were on the road with this new format, where you get 2 days off in between games, and kept our guys pretty active. I would imagine they'll do the same thing on Thursday, try to keep them active so they don't lay around too much and just, you know, kind of be lumps when they show up for the game.
Gabe Dines, the 7-footer. He was, you know, a difference maker last time. What is his role been throughout the year? Because you look at some box scores, he gets limited minutes. He doesn't get a lot of time out there, does he? I mean, but he played such a huge role in the win over Wright State the last time, and it really wasn't a box score role. He didn't score a ton of points. He did pull down 7 rebounds, but his presence alone, it really just took away the comfort level of Wright State. They have a lot of guards that like to get into the paint. They have a lot of mid-range guys, and they really couldn't get comfortable in the mid-range just because of his length and the amount of ground he covered. Talk about him and his development throughout the season, because I think that right now Coach Calhoun has a hidden gem in him for years to come.
Gabe has really emerged. He's continued to progress nicely. You know, when he had that game here at home against Wright State, he had six block shots, altered others, and that's really been his role. He's been a great rim protector. You know, he shoots it well because he's so close to the basket. He has some range to step out, just not confident enough to do that yet, but he has been a great rim protector. Right now he's tied for the league lead in block shots, and he's missed the last couple of games with a hand injury. So he continues to be one of the top shot blockers in this league, and his presence alone makes you think, because you got to elevate your shot a little bit more. You either got to arch it over him, try to bank it off the backboard a little bit higher. And the guy that's really kind of stepped up for us as well has been Emmanuel Zorgbo. He's filled in very nicely. Before Gabe got hurt, he was playing better than 20 minutes a game, and now Iman's been doing the very same thing in that role. So the depth at that forward position has been crucial, and to have a couple of 7-footers that you can rely upon does just what you mentioned. It kind of creates a little bit of a discomfort for those shooters because they know they've got to go into that height and worry about getting their shot blocked.
Yeah, and that's huge, especially in a league that's been dominated by guards and forwards for quite some time. You know, you think, I mean, just I feel like the league has shifted a bit back to guards. I feel like it's always like it ebbs and flows a little bit. You know, Wright State had the bigs for a while, Grant Basile and Loudon Love, and then before that, Drew McDonald. And there's been other good bigs around the league, don't get me wrong, but dominated by guys like that. And you're seeing Youngstown bring bigs back to the equation. Bigs still play a huge role for Wright State. Same thing for NKU and others. But Dines out for the last three games. You know, what's the outlook like for him as far as when he could potentially come back?
I think they're hopeful that he can return soon. I haven't heard of a timetable yet as far as his availability for these two games on the road. You know, I know it's crucial to get him back. You know, the longer you sit out, you know, it's harder to kind of get back into the flow because, as we had talked about, he was just starting to really kind of fit into the role and playing some more sizable minutes. And it's important when you go against Wright State because I still think they have, you know, two of the best post players in Brandon Nolan, A.J. Braun. And, you know, if you remember correctly, last year in that triple overtime thriller here in Youngstown, Braun was a huge difference, clogged the middle, didn't allow passing lanes. And we really didn't have an opportunity to win that game until he fouled out. So those two posts at Wright State cause a lot of problems because they're active. Brandon Nolan can shoot it. And A.J. Braun can defend very, very well. So, it has been a guard-oriented league for years, and I think that's the teams that have some forwards and post players. I think those are the ones that you always see, like in Oakland with Chris Conway. I think those are the teams that always seem to be in the upper half of this league.
As far as, you know, Wright State's concerned, obviously we talked about some of the difference makers for Youngstown, for Wright State. You know, Alex Hubricks, he's not one of the guys that you look at. You know, you talk about Tanner Holden, Trey Calvin, and then you turn your attention towards the bigs. But he had that 20-point performance against Youngstown. I mean, the reason Wright State even remained in that game, is especially when they went cold down that stretch, he was one reason why they still had a shot. Well, I mean, he's kind of, since that game, he's had some huge games during that stretch. He was huge against Milwaukee. He had a 32-point outburst against Cleveland State. That's one reason that they came back and won and ended their 18-game win streak at home. Talking about the Vikings, of course, a big win in overtime. He had 20 against them last time. Obviously, you know, the focus is on Tanner and Trey, but it's going to be interesting. You know what you get from the stars on both sides. It's the role players that step up. Dines last time, Hubricks over the last couple of games. It's going to be interesting to see the role players that step up, especially in big games like this with large crowds, you know, nationally televised games. This is going to be a good one on Thursday night.
No, I mean, when you look at Wright State offensively, I mean, their five starters all average double figures. So it's like you pick your poison. Who do you – you're not going to be able to shut them all down. You're not going to be able to control a Tanner Holden, a Trey Calvin, and a Brandon Nolan, and then think you can also, you know, kind of limit Braun and Hubricks and what they do. So, you know, the guy that really kind of jumped off the map, Hubricks was one in game one, but the other gentleman off the bench, Logan.
Logan Woods, the freshman, yep.
Logan Woods had 8 points in that first game and really kind of sparked them at times, even though, you know, he didn't hit double figures. Those were found points. That's the kind of role player that needs to step up for Wright State or someone along those lines, maybe a John Lovelace Jr. or an E.J. Farmer for Youngstown State. Those are the guys that could put you over the top because you know, for the most part, what you're getting out of your starters coming into this game.
All right, good stuff. Again, excited for the opportunity to catch up with Rob Schmidt. Once again, here, the voice of the Youngstown State Penguins. two of the top four teams in the league. The Youngstown State Penguins sitting at number two in the Horizon League standings. Sitting in the fourth spot, the Wright State Raiders. Wright State losing by 10 in the first matchup between these two teams back in early January. The return game back at the Nutter Center this time. Another 9 p.m. tip-off, ESPNU. It's going to be an exciting environment at Wright State University's Nutter Center. Rob Schmidt, the voice of the Penguins, thank you so much, sir, and we'll talk at the Nutter Center on Thursday.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks again. Always fun to chat with you.
All right, good stuff. This has been Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League.